Wrong person. Good evening. Welcome back to the Masonic Roundtable, a weekly program where Masons from around the world get together to talk Masonic news and opinions in a friendly and social manner. Following disclaimer applies for the episode. The thoughts and opinions expressed here are only those of the participants and do not reflect any Grand Lodge statements or positions. Please keep your comments open to the public and on the level. To interact with us tonight, we'd love to hear from you. Go ahead and type away in that chat bar. Throw us a super chat with some dough if you'd like. We're bringing this Masonic education to you week after week. We appreciate it. And we're looking forward to hearing you. You can follow along in your Facebook feed as well. I'm Jason Richards, Past Master of Vacation Lodge number 16 in Clifton, Virginia. And we will hand it off to Brother John Ruark. Good night.
Hey, hello and good evening. Good morning, good evening, and good night. So let's see, coming to you remotely. So I'm off on vacation with the family, but it's always good to be here. Didn't want to miss this one. You know me, I'm John Ruark, past master of the Patriot Lodge number 1957 in Fairfax, Virginia. Glad to be here.
Glad to have you with us. Next up, Robert Johnson.
Here's some music by Robert Johnson, Amazon Music.
No, Alexa, no.
Alexa, stop. Oh, you know what? We're just going to, I don't think we can recover from that one. Robert Johnson, your introduction, please.
Hey, everybody. This is Robert Johnson. I'm totally here right now. I'm just practicing my ventriloquism. I'm with Best Novum Lodge out of, like, Indiana or Wyoming or someplace. Back to you, Jason.
Thanks, Robert. We appreciate it. And last but certainly not least, Brother Juan Sepulveda.
So happy to be here. RJ, you sound as great as ever. Juan Sepulveda here from Orange Blossom Lodge number 80 in sunny Kissimmee, Florida, and the brother behind thewindingstairs.com. Good to be here tonight.
All right. Good to have you with us, Brother Juan. John, passing it over to you to thank our patrons for us tonight.
Exactly. Hey, definitely want to give a special shout out to all the patrons who've been supporting the show for the past couple of years. It's been wonderful to help keep the show going, upgrade the equipment. It's meant so much for us to keep this thing going. As a reminder, we don't pocket any of this. It all goes right back to the show, and it really helps us put on a better program for you. So if you like Masonic education, you want to keep that going, head over to patreon.com/TheMasonicRoundtable, and we'd love to chat with you in our little private secret group. See you there. Let's see. Just to kick off this week's episode, I did want to say, you know, we wanted to have Robert here, even virtually, because, you know, he's a busy man. His speaking schedule's gone up, but we wanted to at least get the four of us together to a little bit, you know, reflect on what happened last week. So, if you haven't been following, we lost our fifth Beatle. We lost Mike the intern, who has moved on to greater things. And so we wanted to, you know, kind of stop and reflect again on his service for over 4 years to the Masonic Roundtable. And, you know, it's bittersweet, right? You know, you never want a family member to move out and move on and go off and do something else. But it was time. And you know, as I said last week, I'm reminded of one of the Psalms by King Solomon. You know, to everything there is a season, and you know, this sometimes it's just time to go and time to move on. And so, while we're still here, the four of us, you know, we wanted to at least acknowledge and remember and respect everything that Hammy's done. So salute to him. I'll drink to that. Doing so leaves a little hole in our cadre, our five member knights that we've had pretty much from the beginning. And so we had to, you know, do some soul searching. We've had some, you know, some meetings just with the five of us trying to figure out, like, what is the next evolution of the show look like? What does, can we do it with four? You know, and we've, if you've ever noticed, you know, one of the little pro tips we have, we never have a show with just two people. We want to make sure it, you know, two people is a dialogue, right? Three people or more is a conversation. And so it's critically important that we respect and introduce a lot of diverse opinions and make sure that we each bring something unique to the show. That notwithstanding, we had to step back and say, can we keep the show going with the momentum that we have and us all being, four busy professionals, at just four. And we said, no, right away, we really needed to find a way to keep the show well-balanced, full of energy, full of the interaction and charisma that keeps this thing, different from just, your normal reading papers and Lotch. So we had to do some soul searching. We had to figure out what does that look like? What does as I would call it, TMR 3.0, what does that look like? Because we had the Nick Johnson era, right? We had the Mike the Intern era. And what is this third era? What does this third revolution or evolution of the show look like? So that was not an easy decision to make. We had to do a lot of consideration of what does the spirit of the show entail? What does, what is the energy we want to see carry on through the next round of the show? And we also wanted to see, basically what works well for the audience, what works well for everyone who's listening, because we want to make sure that whoever's coming in, not to replace Hammy, but to be the next successor, has the spirit, the passion, the energy, and the knowledge to keep this show edifying for years to come. So anything else you guys want to add to that? Because this is, it's been tough to really find that sweet spot of that few caliber people that can step into the shoes that Nick and Hammy left. Juan, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, we're proud of what we built with the Masonic Roundtable. It's been some very fun years. We've had, of course, challenges, ups and downs along the way. And we've come to really understand the importance of having a healthy dynamic for us to be able to everybody pick up their own weight. So we're all moving the ball forward. And we've been very fortunate to have people that support us, not just with their words and their wallets, but also with their actions. And we have access to brothers that have come into the show and help us deliver the kind of Masonic education that you've come to expect from the Masonic Roundtable. So although it is difficult to find someone to take the place of another one, because of course we've built a bond with Mike as well as we did with Nick. It is important that we take care of our fiduciary responsibilities when it comes to the show and make sure that we are moving the pieces around so that the show benefits. And I think we can be proud of the decision that we've made over the year.
Yeah, I agree. Robert, what say you? I want to know what your opinions are.
On the record. Well, thanks, John. I'm so glad you asked my opinion. And this is totally Robert Johnson, by the way. I'm not sure why my voice is like this. I sound like someone from South Park. Anyway, we thought about it and thought about it and thought about it and thought about it some more. Mostly while, showering, bathing and whatnot. We realized that if we couldn't, find that right person, that, we would not settle for anyone less than the right person to lead the Masonic Roundtable into its next stage. And so I'm confident we have done that. And I'm looking forward to introducing them to everybody. Thanks, John. Back to you.
Thanks, Robert. And then I guess before the big reveal, we'll hand it over to Jason for his thoughts of what that, would you say, liminal phase between the before phase and the after phase of TMR looks like.
Well, I have to echo Robert's opinion. We really sat back and looked at what we wanted to do with the Masonic Roundtable and who, again, had that passion, that energy, but also that commitment, because you know, you all watch us for an hour a week. There is a lot more that goes on behind the scenes with the Masonic Roundtable than just that hour. There's content research. There's working with Patreon patrons on Facebook. There's planning and you know, executive meetings and strategic meetings that all go on. And you know, the five of us are essentially in a nonstop group chat that has been going on for almost 8 years now. So there's just a lot that happens behind the scenes, and we wanted to make sure it's kind of like a band getting a new member. We wanted to make sure that we had someone it's someone who is going to be, you know, our best friend and, you know, in it through thick and thin with us, whether they like it or not. And so it's that person that, you know, I would want to, you know, wake up next to and do TMR with, essentially, week in and week out. And so,
Hold your horses. Hold your horses.
Well, I mean,
no, I'm kidding.
No, but you know, commitment needs to be there. Passion needs to be there. Zeal for the fraternity needs to be there. And it needs to be someone who isn't so busy that they, take on too much and then can't do everything that we need to do behind the scenes for the show. And that took a bit to find.
It did. So when are we going to do the big reveal? That's the big question.
Well, I was getting depressed that it was just four of us. So wait a second. Something's coming through my feed. What is that? What's that sound? Whoa!
Yay!
No!
I thought he failed the interview.
Look who it is.
Bienvenido, Jose.
Hola.
Robert was so mad he dropped.
No, that's it. Robert's up.
He quit.
Welcome to the Masonic Roundtable, now 40% Hispanic.
Not tonight, baby. It's 50.
We're meeting quotas. One step.
They're ganging up on us, John.
So for our audio listeners, who's the big special guest / new host of TMR? The one, the only, Joe Martinez.
Woo!
Yay! Hello audio folk. Not accustomed.
What are you drinking, Joe?
To the a bubbly, actually. I will start bringing alcohol beverages to my office on Thursday evenings at 9:30. I promise. Nice. We'll bring something different.
Yeah, you'll need
it. Yeah. I know. So I've heard.
So welcome. This is huge. I'm excited.
I'm so jazzed. I'm fangirling just inside. Hard.
Cuz you guys, isn't that interesting? Now you can self fan girl. Like what?
That's a really existential thing. I don't think I'm there yet. So I'll give
He loves himself all the time. Don't worry.
I do. But yeah.
Yeah, no, we got a comment from YouTube saying, so much VA masonry. Virginia in the house.
It's a little heavy, but.
Well, we don't have to just represent Virginia masonry. We can represent DC masonry and Massachusetts masonry and, you know, a lot of us.
UGLE masonry.
UGLE masonry. We're a lot more universal than just a little sliver of the East Coast. So,
now that's certainly not lost on us either, because although Joe and Jason and I are within stone's throw from each other, definitely Joe is well traveled. I mean, when he travels for work, he's going to a lodge event, and so there's certainly experience there that we also wanted to include in. So it's not just we've seen Joe in Lodge, but he brings that breadth of everything we talked about in the beginning. So yeah, so that's exciting.
I think very, I see exciting. All of you outside of Lodge more than I see you in Lodge, in fact. So
you're breaking up. I don't know if I can. No, but so anyway, I think this would be a good time to really jump in and you know, you've been on TMR as a guest host a couple times, had some excellent topics that certainly everyone loved, and myself included. And so really, I guess the thing that I think most people would want to know is kind of like, what is your Masonic resume / likes and dislikes? Because that's, again, everyone's bringing something different. What do you bring to the table? You know, so here's your shameless self-promotion time.
Wow. What is it you would say you do here?
What is it you do here? Yeah, absolutely. So, I wrote down my intro already. I'm so happy about it. So for those of you who don't know me, my name is Joe Martinez. I am the senior warden of Manassas Lodge number 182 in suburban chic Manassas, Virginia. And, but that's just one little piece of me. I'm also a member of a traditional observance lodge in Washington, D.C., and that's called Benjamin B. French Lodge number 15. Really spiritual, TO forward lodge, heavy on education. I'm also a member of Ezekiel Bates Lodge in Attleboro, Massachusetts. I became a member of that after my first MasonicCon. And that's one of the things that prompted. One of the things I love to do in Masonry is go out and travel and go to all this explosion of Masonic conferences that have picked up over the last few years. And then I'm also a member, I think it's John's fault that I joined, a member of Internet Lodge number 9659 of the United Grand Lodge of England. So I'm a Mason in a bunch of places, and I pay a lot of dues. I know my wife is watching tonight. Please, you know, bleep that out. But I enjoy Masonry, and I enjoy very specific kinds of masonry, but as I get older, as we all get older, I'm starting to, you know, appreciate all the things that masonry does and everything that it is today and how it could potentially be better in the future. So, yes, so I do like to go to lots of lodges. As John said, when I travel for business, I do find Masonic lodges to travel to in the area and go meet folks, which is kind of counterculture to you know, going out on a business trip and, you know, going out and partying and staying out all night and things like that. I don't do that. I go and find a lodge and hang out with some brothers, which I think my wife probably prefers a little bit more. But I love traveling. I love meeting Masons from all walks of life, and I love going to see different lodge experiences. And this is probably one of the things I'll be telling you for hopefully years to come. And sorry, my Great Dane is sneezing. I have an office dog. She's my emotional support office dog. And she's a 150-pound Great Dane. And so you'll see her, and there she is right there. You'll see her on the podcast as well. But as I was saying, I love seeing all the differences in ritual and the differences in how brothers interact with one another. And I like to think I'm becoming a more worldly person by meeting people from all walks of life and with different opinions on what the craft is. So, yeah, that's my, I'm not going to bore you with my whole Masonic resume. I think it's on RJ's speakers page. I've joined everything just to absorb all different kinds of ritual and learn different things about the craft. It all leads me to the same conclusion, no matter what degrees you partake in or what bodies you join. It really is about the people and the relationships with them and, you know, how open and honest you are with your brothers. And I think that's the one big takeaway from all the different appendee bodies and dues that I've paid. I keep learning that same lesson over and over again. So, but again, super stoked to be here. I'm going to fangirl probably the rest of this episode and one more episode. So, if you can bear with me on that, then we'll be good.
That's super exciting.
Awesome.
So I know one thing that, because I know you outside of Lodge as well, that, you know, anyone who tries to do an internet search of Joe Martinez, if you find the right one, that you'll find lots and lots, and even a few more, videos on, either YouTube or, Facebook video, of all sorts of talks that Joe's given, right? So he's been on TMR a few times, but he has some fantastic presentations. And definitely, if you haven't seen those yet, after TMR is over, go head over to YouTube and Facebook and just search for Joe Martinez. You'll find him in, Superiority and Refracted Light and all sorts of things like that. One thing I like about Joe, if we're here for the to give Joe a big hug show, is that he does have an esoteric bone in his body. He definitely likes to unpack things and find out like what's the truth therein. And so if you do search for Joe, you'll see different types of either biblical exegesis that he's done to really kind of find out where does it say things about the pillars in the Bible? Where does it say things about what the high priest wore, and where does that come from? What does that mean? So Joe is a very dare I say esoteric
nerd.
He's an esoteric nerd, just like the rest of us. And so one thing I wanted to explore is where does that come from, Joe? What kind of things kind of get you going? What kind of things spark your interest, and why that flavor? Because I know there's a certain leaning you have that's a little different than the rest of us. But I wanted to see where did that come from?
What's that
one time at band camp?
A little bit different than the rest of you. I'm curious. I don't know what to say to that. So
you're curious, all right, Joe. And that's what we like about you. You are curious of lots of different esoteric topics. But to get right to it, you do lean towards the Greek influence. You do lean towards the Egyptian influence, and dare I even say some ancient aliens influence. So where does that come from? Why those areas and a couple others? Why do those jump out to you?
Yeah, absolutely. So I think that I am a professed esoteric Mason, right? I know that's not the most popular word in the Masonic universe, but I am, and I gravitate towards esoteric Masons. But for me, esotericism is not, things that are spooky and things that are, completely off the beaten path. My focus on esotericism is getting to the why and the how of the ritual, right? So we all here know what Freemasonry is. It's an initiatic system that seeks to improve people and make them a better person. But how do you do that? How do you get past that catchphrase and that bumper sticker? Well, you use allegories, and we have a very specific set of allegories in American Freemasonry that we're all accustomed to. And we use those allegories to impart these moral and really universal truths. And I think once I started to realize that, I started to gravitate towards, well, we can't, a bunch of dudes in a bar in 1717 didn't just think this up on their own. And, they didn't say, oh, we're going to have this moral society that's hiding an allegory. There's got to be a more universal truth that's behind it. And as you start to see, looking at all these ancient mystery schools, and I know that's another unpopular word in your mainstream Masonry, but spoiler alert, Masonry is a mystery school. But as you start to look at some of these ancient mystery schools, they all use different sorts of allegories, some more literally than others. But they were, again, trying to impart these universal lessons about why we're here and what our purpose in this world is and what happens when we die. So it's this stream of consciousness that's been flowing for thousands and thousands of years. To your point, John, it's gone through Greece, it's gone through Rome, it's gone all the way back to Egypt, sometimes before that. And that's where we start to get a little weird with the ancient aliens. My secret confession is I'm a huge ancient alien nerd, but I watch it for the mind-numbingness. I can sit there with a bag of popcorn and watch a whole day's worth of ancient aliens and not get bored of it, because it's fun. And they get stuff right maybe about 5% of the time. So kudos to them. So there is hope for me in being a researcher in the future. But it's my my focus in what interests me in Freemasonry and Masonic research is absolutely that stream of consciousness that spans religions and it spans creeds and it spans borders and it spans the centuries to this universal truth that if we learn it and we start to internalize that into our lives, we'll be better people by extension and we'll make the world a better place around us. And it sounds like hokey crap, but you know, all it takes is one person to impact another person's life, and it just, you know, it pays itself forward.
I like where I hear. Yeah, I mean, I you know me, I really care for that practical application of Masonry into one's life. And it's sometimes it's very practical. It's very it's something that you can just put to work in your daily life. And sometimes it's just a little bit more like a teaser for life and its complexities. The more you study the esoterics, the more you study the spiritual realms that are related to Masonry, the more you become hungry for more information. So, you know, I think that your point of view, your angle, I think it brings a good balance to what we do here. We have, you know, brothers here who care a lot about the historical component, others about the religious, about the esoteric, about the practical application. Like, all of that is important. So I'm excited to see the future conversations we're going to have now with your contribution. So
I'm excited. And some of those will be in Spanish. Yes.
Boom. How do you say the Masonic Roundtable in Spanish? La Mesa Redonda Masónica.
Yep. That sounds good.
So many syllables, though.
I know.
Spanish like, that'd has be the entire way too episode. Many
syllables. Yeah.
Bienvenidos a la Mesa Redonda Redonda Masónica.
There you go.
Boom.
Yeah, we're out of time. I think one of my favorite things about Joe's research is how much he keeps me honest with my interests in historical criticism and archaeological corroboration of biblical events. And so it's no surprise that especially Blue Lodge Masonry is chocked full of Old Testament biblical references. And so I've been very much on the journey over the past several years to look at the historicity of the Bible and what can and cannot be corroborated, what texts might be forgeries, what texts might have been changed by the early church. And it's just very fascinating to me to see the Bible as it moves through its, you know, or as it has moved through its perturbations. And Joe is practically the, you know, the biggest Bible expert I know. And so when I definitely get things wrong and jump to conclusions, he's always there to say, well, actually, no. And I greatly appreciate his context and his love for thanks, Jose. We love you. His love for all things, especially Greek and all things mystery school.
Yeah, but it's not all sunshine and rainbows either, because you know, we're not all perfect, and so there are some things that Joe absolutely cannot stand when it comes to his research and his Masonry. We've talked about what you like. What are some of your dislikes? What are the things that kind of grind your gears when it comes to Freemasonry?
Well, next week's topic is going to be the Masonic significations of green beans.
Oh.
Yes. Yes, yes, yes.
Joe is leading that conversation.
I don't feel well. I think I'm going to be sick next Thursday. So, yeah. Yeah, I just let's just start with that one. So green beans, yeah. I actually don't dislike green beans as a food to ingest. I just hate that literally no matter what lodge you go to, you could be having lasagna or steak or you know, tacos, it doesn't matter what food is there. There is a plate of damn green beans there, and they serve no purpose to be Masonic, you know, and they're not even good green beans. You know what I mean? Like, I'm, you know, I'll go to Mission
Barbecue. Out of the can.
I'll order the green beans with the bacon and the lard. Yes. That's good. But, you know, if it's taco night at the lodge or pizza night and there's a plate of green beans, that is functionally incorrect and needs to be addressed. So that's my problem, Masonic Universe, with green beans, okay? And we won't bring it up ever
again. Please send all cans of green bean to the Masonic Roundtable, care of Joe Martinez.
Care of. Yes. But the less important things that
you know,
I don't like.
You know, at the end of the year, we're going to have a canned food drive, and it's gonna be nothing but green beans in your honor. So
you know what? And they'll go to some happy home. It just won't be mine, so don't worry about it.
It won't be.
So, we're good. We're good.
See, and, what else, Greg?
Juan knows that I have a tub of lard in my refrigerator, okay? Because this is a Latin household. And there are certain things you must make with lard. So, yeah.
Yep.
Like green beans. But anyway.
And it's probably inside of a butter container so that when your kids go to get the butter, they just get the lard and then they just.
Right now because she's
they're totally mortified.
Out of her chair. Yeah, absolutely. Or what my mother-in-law used to do, she would cook with lard and she'd put it in the frying pan. But when she's done with the frying pan, she doesn't wash out the frying pan. What she does, she leaves the lard in there. And puts it in the oven, and then it gets super rock hard, but it's now ready for the next time you need to cook something in horrible amounts of omega-3 fatty acids.
It's called seasoning.
It's called flavor, and yeah, I miss it. So yeah, but less important things that I dislike about the craft and the institution in general. I hate how we've really sogified the ritualistic or the initiatic experience, right? For 95% of young folks that are out there or older folks that are out there that go through the craft, they receive a really watered down, reading it out of a book, haphazardly given ritualistic experience. And that's kind of antithetical to the whole we're an initiatic school kind of thing, right? The purpose of, you know, what is every grandmaster you've ever talked to, or at least most of the ones you hear publicly, you know, what's our job? To make Masons, right? But we don't even do that right, right? We're reading books out of a ritual book, and we're reading words out of a ritual book, and we're doing huge classes of 75 people, and you have one example candidate. That's not really putting people through an initiatic experience. You know, for me, The initiatic experience is personal, and it's an individual journey where you start to learn a lot of those practical things that Juan was talking about. And I've taken Juan's Applied Freemasonry class. It was phenomenal. If you haven't taken it,
thank you.
Totally worth the time, energy, and effort to do so. So but we water it down, and then we wonder why we have not captured people's imaginations and curiosities and given them a thirst for something more. So
yeah, I mean, that's what's the job of McDonald's and what's the job of Five Guys? To make burgers, right? But one burger tastes a heck of a lot better than the other. And it's because prime ingredients, and actually, just going to nerd out for a second. The owner of Five Guys, when he wanted to create the perfect burger, basically, started off with a clean palate and said, like, what would be the best ingredient? Where could I even find the best ingredient for this burger? Right. So it was where are the world's best buns? Like, if I wanted to start from scratch and like have the perfect burger, what would that look like? And, in fact, even to go even deeper down the rabbit hole, Five Guys is close in a Virginia establishment. That's where it started. And the beach is about 3 hours away. So there's a common French fry establishment called Thrasher's. And so if you have not had Thrasher's French fries in Ocean City, Maryland, fantastic. It's just these big steak fries. You know, they mass produce them, dunk them in malt vinegar, and they're fantastic. They're delicious. But being a patron of Thrasher's, the guy who created Five Guys says, well, if I'm going to have fries, I want to know where the best fries are. Those are always the best fries. They're always good. And actually looked behind the counter, saw where they got their potatoes from, and then has exclusively since worked with that same exact producer of Idaho potatoes. So, you know, it's about quality, right? Anyone can get a burger anywhere, but it's about how do we ensure a quality experience? And that's exactly Joe's point. And that's what I like about that, is that we're here to make Masons, but we're not here to make an average Mason. We're here to make great Masons.
Well, and one thing that I've said a lot is we talk about, you know, we don't talk about the secrets of masonry, but.
Oh, he started talking about them secrets, and he got sniped.
He did. He got zapped by the internet.
Yep. Yeah. We don't play that game, Jason.
You don't even allude.
Well, you know, the true secret of Freemasonry, you know, I've said this on the show a dozen times, is the initiatic experience of the degrees. So giving a less than stellar degree performance is in my estimation the same as, you know, not giving the candidate everything he needs to, not giving him a dues card essentially, or not giving him the modes of recognition.
You know, that's very interesting, the balance that is created. That is the one moment where there's perfect balance, because the one way in which you can take something away from someone is by giving them a bad experience. So you're giving them and you're taking from them. Like, that's the sad part of it. Like, if you were taking away the opportunity to have an impressionable moment, you can't replace that. No, you know, you can go and attend an initiation, a passing, a raising, whatever, but it's never you. And for the brothers who are haphazardly participate in degrees, for, you know, when they had an opportunity to do better, they need to remember that they took away from another man the one and only chance they had at that experience. No, a guilt trip, if anybody wanted one. But on a lighter note...
That's why we keep you around.
On a lighter note, Joe, for those of you, the brothers that are listening but not watching on YouTube, let's give them an incentive for them to actually head over to YouTube tonight and check out this episode. The background that you have, it's real. It's your office. Mm-hmm. And it is one of those things that, you know, if I ever get an opportunity to swing by that area, I'm going to be looking and asking questions and geeking out about stuff. Can you just give them just one little phrase explanation of how your background how your background came about?
Yeah, absolutely. So we'll step over to... My camera's doing the reverse thing. So we'll step off to this side. No, this side. Wow. You can tell it's my first time on TV. So this side is more of the nerdy side. So I have a geeky side to my office. Lots of stuff there. A lot of geekiness. More geekiness.
I say, don't pan. You're giving them too much.
Oh, too much? Okay. I didn't even get to the Star Wars stuff yet. So John hasn't even seen that. So. Yeah, lots of Star Wars stuff on that side. Then we'll come over to basically the little bit of nerdy left, but it's being overtaken by mostly Masonic books. So I have a healthy amount of Masonic books and skulls. I like some of you here. I'm a big skull dude. I like skulls.
My man.
Yes.
They don't belong in Masonry. You know this, right?
And you know what? The awesome part is, and I know this, John and Jason love this, is most of the skulls that I've procured in my life have not been me purchasing them. It's been my awesome wife, Barbara, that has gotten me all my skulls. Almost all of them.
Keeper.
Yeah, she's a big keeper. Yes. So, yes. So we got some skulls, some books, and some geeky stuff. Yes, I invite you all to Joe's Nerd Cave. We'll do some private tours. We'll talk, have coffee, from a Nespresso, because that's the only way to drink coffee is through Nespresso and George
Amen.
Clooney. Mm-hmm. That is yep. true.
From your lips to God's ears. And yeah.
That's a Keurig, right?
What's that?
That's no, a Keurig, not. Right? Same thing.
No, it's
right?
not. And what's really, yeah, so you could tell that my wife and I have a great relationship because the Nespresso and the Keurig sit side by side in my kitchen. And she uses the inferior
holding piece hands. Of
technology. And I use the magical George Clooney machine. So, yeah.
It's a magical Danny DeVito machine.
Yeah. That's more my speed, Danny DeVito, than George Clooney. But, awesome. Yeah.
So the last question for you that I have, Joe, is where do you hope to see TMR 3.0 as we go forward? You know, for the next 10 years that you're here, what do you expect to see?
At least.
Change, evolve, and grow?
Well, I think there's definitely a couple of things I don't want to change. One of the things that I love about the Masonic Roundtable and having been a fan for so long was the eclectic nature of the talks that you brought to, you know, to the audience. You brothers really span the gamut on the different types of conversations, and it wasn't just one single vein or stream that you went down and kept going. And you talked about everything. You talked about historical stuff. You talked about real world relevant stuff. You talked about issues in the craft. You talk about different degree systems. I mean, you talked about everything. And you did it from a very honest perspective. No matter what the topic was, whether it was research or history or issues in the craft or issues with particular Masons. And you didn't shy away from those hard conversations about why Masonry is losing members and why are people apathetic towards the craft. So I want that to continue to be the focus, you know, just being out there and talking about every single thing under the sun and try to entice as many people as possible to learn more about TMR and then by extension learn more about Freemasonry or another system of initiation that works for you, you know, depending on where you live or how you were born or what works for you. But you know, I my biggest takeaway from the Masonic Roundtable is it's always an invitation to grow as a person, you know, no matter what topic you're talking about. So if it's something I need to research more, or if it's something I need to invest a little more time in myself, you know, I can do that. And you brothers have done that for what, seven and a half years now. And it's been going very well. So that's definitely one of the things I don't want to change. And I think a universal goal for everybody is to reach out to more people. Right. So, you know, everybody that listens to this show, you know, whether it's on audio or on YouTube or on Facebook, they're not Freemasons. They just like the topics that are here, you know, or maybe they're part of a different system that works for them. But just keeping that universality open, you know, and never being wedded to, you know, one particular way of doing things, I think is a recipe for success that you've always had. And I think you should continue forward. So, I am not going to have the hubris to answer your question, John, and on my first full-time episode, tell you what's going to change, but, you know, hit me up in, yeah. you know, 3 or 4 years when I, you know, I'm tired and crusty and, you know, then I'll definitely tell you what you should change. So
you're supposed to come in with the 10-year roadmap. I mean, be like Elon. Come on, let's do it. Man.
In my year, I shall institute.
I can't even say that yet, Juan. Because I'm not a past master like these grumpy guys on the bottom.
That's give it a year and 4 months.
Yeah,
a year and
so it's going to be a wild ride for you to be, you know, busy with TMR every week, and I don't know, running a lodge and everything that goes with that. So of course we're all very excited for you for that endeavor first, because that is no small undertaking and you and I have talked offline, like when you commit to something, you're all in, right? You are there. You're in it to win it. You're there with 100% of your heart into it. And so again, that's why we appreciate you being here and everything you do for Freemasonry, to make, you know, Manassa Lodge super awesome, especially in the upcoming year. So thank you for everything you do there.
Thank you. We'll see. We'll awesome. See. Either that or I'm going to be the one to light the match and burn it all down. But one way or the other, we're going to have fun. So
that's what every master
says. People. I've heard of people almost burning down their lodges. It happens.
Well, and most will only burn down 15% of the people that are there, right? Because that's the national average, right? Of shower uppers. So 15% of you are in trouble.
I was going to say, I didn't almost burn my down. I just like started a civil war in it and then, you know, almost like knocked it over one night. That's all.
They don't call them burning tapers for nothing.
That's right.
Oh, that's right. I did almost burn it down. But that wasn't why I was master.
Oh.
No.
You were trying to get ahead of the game.
That was my last night as senior deacon. They're like,
you know,
you aren't the candles anymore. You're junior warden now.
I think anytime someone almost burns down the lodge is their last night as senior deacon. We can all agree to that.
I bet you there's going to be like 20 years in the future, there's going to be a very zealous mason, a very young, very fervent, and he's going to be like, you know, I think we should go back to that beautiful tradition of having burning tapers. How come we have these square and compasses light bulbs? Like, they shouldn't be like that.
Tapers, yeah.
That's because Clark over there was squaring his corners.
They'll have a photo of you. You see that young man right there?
On the wall.
Yeah. Worshipful.
Looking like Fire Marshal Bill. Yeah. On that note, I think it's time to start wrapping things up. So final question. Let's see. What's a good final question for Joe Martinez? Let's see. So, Juan and Jason, what do you think will be the best part of Joe's legacy on the show? And so I'll start off for my part of the final question. I think that Joe will definitely give us some new insights. Again, I'm interested in hearing more about his research in the Greek and Egyptian part. That is something I'm weak in, and I'm certainly willing to admit that. And that is something that I think he can grow my interest in and grow my knowledge in. And so I think that will be something awesome. And I think that, again, just having him be all in to TMR, I think will also keep the show going and give us the energy to move us forward into, because, you know, this has been a crazy, you know, 18 months or so with the pandemic, and having someone with Joe to bring the energy to help us through the finish line on this will be super awesome. So that's all I got. Thank you, Joe.
All right, over to Juan. Same question for you.
Well, when John asked that question, the first thing that came to mind is how I would feel whenever Mike would put together a presentation or he would do some research to supplement the discussions that we had. Even though there were moments where the topic perhaps was something that was foreign to me, something that I was not particularly excited about, he found a way to do the research and put together information that was going to grab my attention and my interest, and by consequence, grab the attention and interest of thousands of brothers out there who listen and watch to the Masonic Roundtable. By the same token, I'm excited to see what Joe brings in with his enthusiasm for studying the ancient text and different aspects of esotericism and religion, and open our eyes, perhaps get us excited to learn a little bit more about these complex topics, get to become a little bit more interested in learning more from those research. So obviously it's early to be able to forecast what a legacy would be, but there is, you know, just that, a forecast. I do expect to see a little bit of what I've already seen in Joe's presentations, his involvement with refracted light, his involvement in Esotericon are a good indication of what we can expect to see from him in the Masonic Roundtable. So these are exciting times, and I look forward to it all. Thank you, Joe, for saying yes. And I look forward to a while of us geeking out on the stuff we love.
He said yes.
He said yes.
He went to Jared's. You're muted, Jason.
He is. You're doing the sounds.
Awesome.
Yeah. That was awesome.
Here I am being like, oh, come on, guys. Come on. No, thank you so much, Juan. Appreciate those words. I think the thing that I'm looking forward to most out of Joe's legacy is that Joe does everything 110%. And so I know that he will push us to be the best that we can be. And he will push us to grow and evolve the show in ways that we didn't think were possible. And so I'm looking forward to that kick in the rear and that pushing of the envelope. I'm looking for that to come back to how it was in 2014 when there were no rules, there was no set like show, and we just did stuff and tried to figure it out. And so I'm looking forward to doing that again. And so, Joe, we most certainly appreciate having you. We're looking forward to continuing this friendship and this relationship with you. I'm sure our viewers and listeners are as well. So, it's going to be awesome. So, everybody, thank you so much for watching. We love you all. And please remember to keep searching for more light.
Wow.